Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Electric Leftovers. My name is Jason. This is episode 425, I think. I got it all the way out here and got all set up, and I don't have my phone with me because I'm a dope and I'm looking things up so hard. So we are here on the Groove Machine Dome with a brand new piece of kit that's hopefully going to make recording this show a little bit easier. So if there's some little audio inconsistencies, I do apologize. This is maiden voyage. Like, the thing literally showed up like an hour ago, and I've never used one of these before. It's a little Tascam linear recorder, this says. That's what it says. So I'm going to believe it when it tells me that. This week on the show, as we record it with this, we've got some new Final Fantasy Tactics, of course. We've got some new Super Mario World happening. Should be, by the time you hear this, finished with that. So, that's something to look forward to, right? And, anything else? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think there is. I don't think we've got much to talk about. I'm still learning how to use a web browser. Smart TV. Not very smart. Can't believe I have one of these. Ugh. I hate myself for it. It was cheaper to buy one of these than not one of these. Anyway, so we've got all that going on. What are we going to talk about today? Well, if I can figure out how to make this work, we're going to look at the back of the box for Gradius 3. That's going to be pretty exciting, right? We're going to read some weird news, of course. We're going to get some reviews for the Goonies 2. And unfortunately, the again, our weekly Warren and the movie are not with me. So I will need to dig out the tablet and get that set up. But don't worry. Don't worry. All will be well, I promise. As long as the audio doesn't sound like crap. That's going to be a new thing. We'll find out. I mean, it kind of sorted together, right? Right. The gentle Gradients thought they were cured of Bacterian's contemptible curse after a generation of germ-free living. I guess again, that wretched fiend is once again wreaking havoc on Gradius and the surrounding planets, and it's your destiny to put an end to it. Unless, maybe you think life as an amoeba would be pleasant. You'll have to be as tough as Orakian ore to confront Bacterian and disintegrate its hailstone of a heart. If you do, all that is good in the universe will breathe a sigh of relief. And if you don't, you'll hear the echo of a solitary clap, and the final dark curtain will fall. That is pretty, I don't know what you want to say about that. Dire, Konami. This is Gradius 3. It's a shooter developed, published by Konami, released in 1991. Available for the Super Nintendo. That's the version we played. The Switch, and in arcades. Yeah, good old launch title-ish era Super Nintendo game, Gradius 3. It's probably my favorite Gradius game. I haven't played a lot of Gradius games, to tell you the truth, because they're kind of hard. I've played more Parodius games than I have Gradius games. But I really like this one. I think it's perfect. The music's great. The graphics great. There is some pretty gnarly slowdown in some areas that the Super Nintendo hardware just can't quite handle. But yeah, it's great. It's got a fantastic soundtrack, as you are probably going to hear in this episode. And this is a real fun little game, man. I enjoy it. So one downside to the way I do this, especially today, mostly today, pretty much exclusively today, the way I have my accounts set up for, my email, et cetera, you get a thing on my phone, and then I say, yes, that's me, and then it lets me in. But I don't have my phone. I left it inside when I came out here to record. So I need to get to my OneDrive, because I don't use Google anything, because Google's garbage. I need to get in there to get the movie and the song, and I can't do it because it's on my phone. So I don't think I can do it. We'll find out later. Anyway, Goonies reviews. There's a few of them. Goonies 2 reviews, there's even fewer. Horror Spooky wrote one for us in 2015 that says the Goonies aren't good enough. Oh, Horror Spooky, what have you done? Let's find out. I love the Goonies, Horror Spooky says. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. There's just some indiscernible charm about the movie. Oh, excuse me. That is not indiscernible. That's indescribable. Indescribable is how he's got that spelled. Charm about the movie, and it perfectly captures the essence of the 1980s. I've seen it a million times, and it never gets old. It's truly a classic, excuse me. I was trying to make it sound more important than it is. I was completely oblivious to there being a Goonies 2, let alone that it's a video game for the NES. I went in with high hopes. Obviously, I left pretty disappointed. The Goonies 2 stars Mikey, the asthmatic character from the movie that would go on to star in The Lord of the Rings. Is it? Is that true? I don't know. However, you wouldn't know this just by playing the game. The only reason I know this is by looking it up online. You're likely to only find the cartridge by itself out in the wild, but if you did find the instruction manual or the box, you can probably learn about the story that way. If not, there's no real context provided in-game, which is poor design. Well, it's also pretty standard for NES games. Mikey walks around a mansion, caverns, and other places fighting random-ass bugs with a yo-yo. As you can probably guess, the game has very little to do with the movie. It's a platformer with a focus on exploration, and it has a dash of point-and-click adventure thrown in the mix as well, which was probably ill-advised. Much of the game is spent walking around aimlessly, gathering tools needed to solve puzzles that are obscure and frustratingly designed. Dying in the game has more annoying consequence than sending you back to the beginning of the game. If you die, you can just start back where you had just died and aren't set back in any significant amount. However, if you die all of your lives, you get to start back at the same spot. However, you will lose all of the items you've collected up to that point. That means you have to backtrack all over anyway, so there's literally no reason for the game not to send you back to the very beginning, and it practically does anyway. During the point-and-click sections, the direction that Mikey is facing doesn't make any sense. Sometimes there will be a door in front of you, and pressing up will actually send you through the door. Other times, pressing up will send you backwards. There's no rhyme or reason to this, and it doesn't make any sense. There's nothing really that connects the game to the film franchise beyond the vague goal of having to rescue your fellow Goonies. If you die all your lives, you get to see the Fratellis in a short little scene. I was very disappointed that the game didn't pay more homage to the film, as that seems to be the only selling point of this dreadful title anyway. The Goonies 2 is an ill-conceived mashup of two genres that are just awkward together. I don't know why they thought combining a platformer and a point-and-click would be a good idea, but it definitely wasn't. As a result, The Goonies 2 is a complete train wreck. Maybe The Goonies should consider saying die this time around instead of suffering through this adventure. Horror Spooky gave it a 3. It's pretty rough from Horror Spooky. We'll get into story and all that when we finish the reviews, but Horror Spooky's got some complaints. I think a couple of them are fair, like the dying and losing all your items thing without going back to the beginning is really annoying. But, yeah. More on that later. Skyrunner14, 2008, said, "Whose bright idea was it to give some kid bombs?" They go on, "Boy, I love this game. It was actually one of the first games I ever had for the NES. I loved the movie, and when I learned that there was a video game, my mom rushed to eBay, and well, the rest is history." How old are you, Skyrunner? Your mom rushed to eBay to buy you Goonies 2 because you enjoyed Goonies 1? Story, 2 out of 5. "Oh no, the Goonies have been captured by the Fratellis. We must save them." Very unoriginal story. Not the worst I've ever seen, but more of a Mario caliber story. Like the princess has been kidnapped again. Sigh, he is written. So it's just the word sigh. It's not the action. By the way, the princess has been kidnapped again. ?, period, period, period is in parentheses. It's its own sentence. It don't need the parentheses. Control, 4 out of 5. The control can be somewhat jerky at times, but for the most part, they're good enough. Parenthesis, no pun intended, to allow your movement. Sound, 5 out of 5. A lot of the music in the game still rattles my core to this day. From the mysterious tune that played in the first-person mode, which you heard last week, to the classic 8-bit rendition of the Goonies are good enough. I smile and giggle like a toddler when I hear them. The sounds, on the other hand, aren't as impressive, but hey, they do their job. Gameplay, 4 out of 5, which is not control. Okay, up until now, I've been lenient, but the game does have some minor gameplay flaws. For one thing, the first-person mode. The items found throughout the game are hidden, and you'll probably wonder what the developers of the game were on when they designed this part. Period. Parenthesis. Just kidding about the drug use, comma, Konami. Parenthesis. Period. Seriously, though, how would I know to hit a poor defenseless old lady 5 times to get a candle? Or hit a certain wall with my fist to make a box of bombs appear? There's no way the player would know this unless they either A, look through each room like a hawk, or B, use a walkthrough. Another thing about the game is the losing of lives. When you lose a life, you lose all your keys. Keys are somewhat hard to come by, so unless you intend on killing everything you see on a regular basis, you're pretty much stuck. Final comments. Even with the game's minor flaws, it's still a decent game and you should definitely get it if you haven't yet. It's got a little something for everyone, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it as much as I have, if not more. The game can be found cheap on eBay and it's common enough to find at a garage sale. Parenthesis, luck also has a say in the matter, parenthesis period. If you can put up with a high difficulty, at least try to put up with the difficulty. What? You'll be glad you did. Oh, and just for the record, the password system is brutal. Good luck. Rating 7. Skyrunner, you need the parenthesis talk. That's all I gotta say. Okay, let's see. Any of, well, we had Horace Buki, our regular contributor, and I saved the best for last, hopefully? Question mark. Brack in 2000. Man, why are so many platformers released today that are crushed by this one? Goonies 2 is made by Konami, 1987. This game is a sequel to the first game Konami made starring the Goonies, and not a sequel of the movie. Parenthesis, learned that from the history of Konami on a certain website, period parenthesis. There's a train. You star as Mikey, a young boy who must free his friends that are trapped inside the huge mansion. Wait a minute, I thought the Goonies were the enemies in the movie, and in this game they're the heroes? Well, I might be mistaken, but if I'm correct, that's pretty ironic. Anyway, despite that mistake, this game rocks. You've never seen the Goonies, have you, Brack? Graphics, 5 out of 10. Unfortunately, the graphics are kind of bland for the NES, even for 1987. They seem to be pretty dull. Nonetheless, this is easily forgiven. I mean, you only got 5 out of 10, but hey, it's alright. Sound, 9 out of 10. The music in this game is very cool, and I enjoyed listening to it while playing the game. You can explain why, but the music is quite fitting. So come on, let's hear you. Explain yourself. The sound effects are also fitting to the game and are better than a lot of other sounds you'd hear from games of this time. Exclamation point. He was excited about that. Gameplay, 10 out of 10. This is where the game really shines. You must free 8 goodies from the mansion and the mermaid as well. The mansion is huge. There's a ton of exploration to do and a lot of secrets to find. There are many items that you must collect along the way, including a ladder, scuba gear, glasses, and more. These items are used to reach other areas of the mansion and for finding the other Goonies. Once you've rescued one of your chums, your life meter increases. A very helpful feature, I might add. One of the coolest things about this game was that had more than just normal side-scrolling action. It also had first-person Shadowgate-like exploration. This game is a blast to play and does the movie proud. History of Konami on a certain website. There is no movie, he said. The challenge is high, for the mansion is very big, and sometimes it seems like you're only able to find out what to do next by luck. Parenthesis, similar to Zelda, period parenthesis. There's multiple schools of thoughts on what to do with parentheses and where you do you punctuate inside them or outside of them. Who knows? This game will keep you coming back for more. I guarantee that, parenthesis, as long as you like the game, period parenthesis, capital H, however, when you finished it, there isn't much left to do. I'm going to read that removing the parenthesis as it's written, because, you know, that's how it's written. This game will keep you coming back for more. I guarantee that, however, when you finished it, there isn't much left to do. Just read it out loud. Tell me if it sounds right. Overall, 10 out of 10, even though graphics were a 5 and sound was a 9. It's only about $2, and the experience is totally worthwhile. Rating 10. I just don't think Brack. So the game is an action platformer. We've talked about that. It's an adventure game. You go through this. It's not a mansion. It's like a decrepit old shack, like the one in the first movie. And I gotta say that now, because there's not a second movie. There's just the movie. Okay? So they're in like the shack. And then in the shack, they go down underground and there's caves and all that. This is similar to this game. This game has a shack. And you go underground, and you go, like, there's a bridge that's very important. But the world also has, like, a front side, back side. And that's important for something we'll get into a little later. So, it's huge. The game world is big. It is very big. And it's very confusing if you don't know how the game world works. Konami made a couple of games that were similar to this. Goonies 1 is actually kind of similar to this. A game called Nightmare, Maze of Gallius, they're similar to this. And those games were Metal Gear, the MSX and NES Metal Gear games, very similar to this in a way. And those games all influenced La Mulana. This game plays kind of like La Mulana. You have to find items. Sometimes it's cryptic as hell what you're supposed to do to find these items, but you need these items to progress in the game. If you played La Mulana and you've enjoyed La Mulana, this game and La Mulana have a lot in common. So do Metroid, Euphoria, which we talked about, Castlevania 2, they're all similar in that way. So it's not very straightforward, nor is it supposed to be. I don't believe they wanted it to be very straightforward. And it kind of feels like we have a game and we got a license, kind of like Sunsoft did. Like, we have a game, let's put Terminator on it, and then Terminator didn't end up happening, so then it became Journey to Silius, Sunman, and Superman, and all that stuff. So that's what I can tell you, a little bit of backstory about the game. There is no Goonies 2 movie, obviously. This is Goonies 2, a sequel to the Goonies 1 game that Konami made that was kind of based on the movie? Question mark? So in this game, we have to rescue the other Goonies, even though Brack said the Goonies were the bad guys, but that was the Fratellis, if you recall. The Fratellis have kidnapped the Goonies, but they've also kidnapped a mermaid in Goonies 2. I don't know how, I don't know why, but they did. So Goonies 2, your job as Mikey is to rescue all the other Goonies and the mermaid. When you rescue the mermaid, good job, you win the game. So you have to traverse this huge shack, cliff sides, underground caverns, ice caverns. You got to do some swimming, and then you get the first person mode, which everybody says is really confusing. It's not that bad. It's not first person 3D like Fester's Quest is. It is more like Shadowgate, or I think another game that is really similar to this that doesn't show up mentioned a lot is the Friday the 13th game. It's very similar to that as well, because you do have your side-scrolling action bits, except this is more Castlevania-ish in its action bits. And then you have the first-person mode, which is more Friday the 13th than Shadowgate, I think. Not so... It's more about finding items and picking them up than solving puzzles. You know what I mean? The puzzles in Goonies 2 are not, you know, hit a wall with a hammer, a hole appears, and then you can get a ladder and put it in the hole in the ceiling and climb up. It's not complicated puzzles. Finding the items that you use to solve the puzzles, that's the complicated part. Anyway, so that's your story about the story. I think the story of the game is not important. It would be nice if something in the game did tell you what you were supposed to do, because nothing does. Not even like a little paragraph like Metroid had or some of the Castlevania games had. Yeah, nothing. You're just plunk. Here's some Cyndi Lauper music. Go hit that snake with a yo-yo, small boy. And then you do that. And then if you figure out what the hell you're supposed to be doing, great. Good job. If you don't, you can still have fun, but you don't know what you're working towards. So story, 7. Music, I think the music of the game is great. You guys heard, it was really hard to pick like the best of it because almost all of it is really damn good. So I'm going to give the music an 8. Graphics, I think the graphics are fine. It's bright, it's colorful. Mikey stands out from everything really well. You can tell for the most part what everything is, what's going to kill you, what's going to not. If it's moving and it's not you, it will kill you. How's that? Does that sum it up pretty good? So I'm going to give the graphics an 8. Gameplay wise, I think it's fine. I think the controls are pretty darn good, so I'm going to give that an 8. I think where this game struggles, and I don't know if it's wholly the fault of the game, is lack of direction. Because, you know, this was 1987. You bought a game, you had the book. You didn't rent games in 1987 a whole hell of a lot. It wasn't really, I think, a model that had taken off at the time. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think the idea at this point was still that if you had the game, you had the manual. That's how you were going to play it. So yeah, that's my thoughts on that. I think Goonies 2 is a very good game. I think it's a very challenging game because, you know, you really got to know what you're doing. And I had no clue when I played it. And I had never seen anybody actually finish it until I think I saw the Game Grumps do it. I think I saw them finish the game. And then somebody asked me to play it. And so I played it for them. But I did use a guide. 100% used a guide because I couldn't remember what the hell I was doing. But I think it's a great game. I think it's a lot of fun. You gotta devote a little time to it. Ladies and gentlemen, have you learned to stop worrying and love the bomb? Well, if not, Dr. Strangelove is here to tell you what to do. It's a 1964 political satire black comedy film directed, co-written, and produced by Stanley Kubrick and has Peter Sellers in three separate roles, including the main character. It satirizes the Cold War and the fear of nuclear conflict between the Soviet Union and the United States and has a just fantastic cast: George C. Scott, Sterling Hayden, Keenan Wynn, Slim Pickens, and Tracy Reed. And this was loosely based on a thriller novel called Red Alert by Peter George, who co-wrote the screenplay with Kubrick and the great Terry Southern. Basically, sum it up, there's a commander of an Air Force base who's gone crazy because he got tired and thirsty after he had sex, and he was convinced that the Russians were out to get our precious bodily fluids, and kind of unknowingly sent a plane, a whole squadron of planes, to go and bomb Russia. Well, turns out Russia has a doomsday device, and any attack on Russia automatically triggers the doomsday device, which triggers, you know, global nuclear holocaust. Isn't that fun? And it's about the president of America. Why can't I remember what his character's name was? Ah, it's terrible. I remember most all the names. Merkin Muffley. Yes. President Merkin Muffley, talking to the, Kissoff, the Soviet premier, trying to get George C. Scott and his guys to go after Sterling Hayden. And the names, oh, they're so good. So we have Group Captain Lionel Mandrake, played by Peter Sellers. We have Merkin Muffley, played by the President. We have Dr. Strangelove, also Sellers. George C. Scott plays Buck Turgidson. Sterling Hayden is General Jack D. Ripper. Keenan Wynn is Colonel Bat Guano. That is indeed your name. Slim Pickens is Major T.J. Kong. Goes by King. James Earl Jones. James Earl Jones is in this a little bit. Peter Bull, fantastic actor as well. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. This is also one of William H. Macy's favorite movies. I think he said it is his favorite movie. I could be wrong about that. Upon first watch, it might be a little odd if you don't know what you're getting into. But I think it's an absolute phenomenal movie with some incredible performances, especially by Peter Sellers. There's actually a kind of a hidden lost ending to the game, which where there's just a pie fight in the war room, which line in the movie. Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room. It's so good. The writing is great. The characters are great. Everything about this is great. It really just, it hangs so well. Just everything it's trying to do. I think it works great. Product of its time, for sure. One of Kubrick's best films, for sure. And if you like dark comedy, and you know, why are you here if you don't? This is a movie you should absolutely check out. Good news. I already had OneDrive set up on my tablet, so I don't need to do the thing, which means I can do the other things. But now, we're not worried about that. We want news right now. So let's start. Our lead story, wait, how many? Not wait what, but wait how many? And you thought your glove box full of unpaid parking tickets was impressive. Police detectives and patrol officers arrested Ayoka Keith, a.k.a. Carol Ann Sumner, on February 16th, 2 weeks after she was charged with an astonishing 322 felonies and 327 misdemeanors by the Spring Township Police Department in Belafonte, Pennsylvania. Keith is an over-the-road trucker, and her 649 warrants were related to the theft of thousands of dollars from a relative. So a lot of those were probably crossing state lines, crossing county lines, things like that. Not to be deterred, Donald Trump trying to break that record. Not getting it, ladies and gentlemen. A 42-year-old resident of Ajax, Ontario, where the cleaner comes from, probably not, was arrested and charged with impaired driving on February 20th at the Durham Regional Police Station, where he had driven to complain about his arrest for public intoxication from earlier that morning. The man asked to speak with the supervisor when he arrived at the station, but officers noticed he seemed to be intoxicated, and after confirming he had driven himself, issued a breathalyzer test, which the man failed. His license was suspended, and his vehicle was impounded. I have a similar story. Didn't happen to me, but we had a burial. Not at my cemetery. This was a competing cemetery. He's the guy over there is good. He's a good guy. But it was for a retired police officer. So he had a police escort. And as the folks were taking the trip to go to the cemetery, the lead police car got T-boned. Boom. Hit by a dude. who ran a stop sign. It was a brand new police vehicle, had like 50 miles on it. So here's the conversation. Hey, how was your day yesterday? Oh, you don't want to know. No, just tell me about your day. I'm very curious. Oh, I ran a stop sign. Oh, that's no good. Is everybody okay? Well, I crashed into a cop. Oh, yeah, that was terrible. Oh, but that was a pretty hefty ticket. Yeah, he was in his brand new truck. Oh, God. And you're not in jail. Well, they were in a funeral procession for a dead cop. You know, yeah, figure that one out. That's a bad day. Anyway, Need for Speed. Oh, God, what? The Hockenheimring racetrack in Baden-Württemberg, Germany, was the setting for a Guinness World Record-setting run recently. The speed reached 92.24 miles an hour. Shouldn't that be kilometers? Well, it might not sound so impressive, but Fulda University engineering student Marcel Paul attained that velocity in a toy car. Paul spent 10 months modifying the miniature Porsche, with the goal of beating the 88 miles per hour made famous by the time-traveling DeLorean DMC-12 in the Back to the Future movies, and in the process created the world's fastest ride on toy car. Said one user in the comments on Paul's Instagram video of the milestone event, "Hell no, that looks dangerous." I have many questions about this story. Number one, was he riding the toy car? Or just, like, driving the toy car? You know, like, remote control? That's question number one. Question number two, was he just trying to go faster than 88 miles an hour? Which this says was the time made famous by the DeLorean in the movies? But other things go that fast all the time now. And faster. That's dumb. That's dumb. And I think he's riding the toy car. How big is this car? Bleepin' birds. 8 potty-mouthed parrots are set to rejoin the rest of their flock at the Lincolnshire Wildlife Park in Boston, UK, after zoo officials decided that recent efforts to help the dirty birds clean up their act in isolation has shown promise. Steve Nichols, who serves as chief executive of the park, still isn't sure what will happen when the birds are reunited with their more well-behaved peers. Quote, "We could end up with 100 swearing parrots on our hand," Nichols said. "Only time will tell." End of quote. For now, the park does not plan to take down its signs warning visitors of the potential for foul language. It's the UK. You ever watch UK TV? I don't think they're worried about that. Rightly so. Very senior year, ladies and gentlemen. It's never too late to graduate, and Fred Allen Smalls of Georgetown, South Carolina is proof. Smalls took the stage at Georgetown High School on February 4th, the day before his 106th birthday, to receive an honorary diploma at a ceremony that came to fruition largely due to the efforts of his granddaughter. Smalls completed 8th grade in the 1930s and moved to Washington, D.C., where he worked as a janitor and held several other jobs before beginning a career with the District of Columbia, eventually retiring during the John F. Kennedy administration. WPDEABC15 reported that the diploma was, quote, "something he's wished for most of his life." Was that a quote from the TV station? And the diploma wasn't the first time Smalls made recent news. In 2023, ABC News recognized him as the oldest Philadelphia Eagles fan. I mean, the universe gives, the universe takes. Sticky situation. A coyote that found itself in an ironic predicament in mid-January has the Humane Animal Welfare Society, HAWS, and the Wildlife in Need Center, WINC. No, that's Witches in Nature's Color. WINC. I know what that is. Of Waukesha County, Wisconsin, to thank for its rescue. The coyote does, anyway. Maybe with a little help from above, ladies and gentlemen. Find out. WDJT in Milwaukee reported that the coyote had gotten its head stuck inside a hollow statue of Saint Francis of Assisi, the patron saint of animals, while chasing a rabbit. The coyote was spotted dragging the statue and working to free itself. That's not funny, but by the next day, the animal was exhausted and still trapped. Okay, that part's not funny. Dragging the statue is pretty funny. Hawes located the coyote and transported it to Wink, where it was freed, treated for minor injuries, and given the nickname Franny. Where's the help from above? If anything, that from above is what caused the problem in the first place. So fairly consistent with theology there. Long-term lending. More and more libraries across the country have converted to fine-free lending, and that's a very good thing for one patron of the Licking County Library in Ohio. Ah, oh, man, wouldn't you like to go to Licking, Ohio? WPDEABC 15. Okay, just stop. You got too many letters. Someplace in Columbus reported that an Instagram post shared by the library included a video of a poetry book that recently had been returned about 93 years late. The patron had found the, quote, Heartthrobs poetry collection at a relative's house and discovered the due date card inside the front cover, last stamped November 9th, 31. WPDE estimated the total fine would have been approximately $5,770. Next, cemetery shortage. Oh no, my job. In the immortal words of Shaggy, it wasn't me. Which Shaggy? Because I don't know either of them. The Livonia, Georgia Police Department wants residents to know that a chaotic scene in a local graveyard, February 20th, had nothing to do with them. Oh, good. That's what you want from your police department. I didn't do it. In case you saw or heard law enforcement commotion, reads a post on the department's Facebook page, well, it wasn't us. The commotion in question? Deputies from the Oconee County Sheriff's Office in neighboring South Carolina had chased a reckless driver across straight lines and into the Livonia City Burgess Cemetery, reports Fox 5 Atlanta. The driver, who was apparently, quote, late for an appointment, damaged several graves before attempting to flee on foot, unsuccessfully. Oh, cemetery shortcut. I see. Well, you know, if you're trying to get somewhere in a hurry, through a graveyard is not a great way to go. The roads are generally fairly small, and there's not generally a straight way just to get from one end to the other. In fact, some of them you can't even get out the opposite side, so don't do that. Thong and Pony Show. Oh, boy. Australian equestrian Shane Rose, a three-time Olympic medalist, decided to push the sartorial envelope on February 11th, competing in a skimpy mangini, the kind popularized by the 2006 movie Borat. In fairness, the annual Wallaby Hill Extravaganza in New South Wales is a costumed competition where equestrians put horses through their paces in all kind of wacky get-ups. Some even go through multiple costume changes, which was the case with Rose. As the Wallaby Hill Equestrian Center put it on Facebook, Rose, quote, truly showed us all he's got, as he wore less and less with each horse he entered the arena with. But somebody complained about the mankini, USA Today reported, leading governing body Equestrian Australia to bar Rose from competing while it investigated. Investigated what? It's infected news of the weird, ladies and gentlemen. Bar Rose from competing while it investigated, period, parenthesis, even rowdy Aussies must follow code of conduct after all, comma, period, parenthesis. It's its own sentence, it doesn't need to be in parentheses. For a few days, Rose's 2024 Paris Olympics plans hung in the balance, but he was soon cleared of any wrongdoing. Let's hope he changes clothes before heaving a big sigh of relief. Ah. Animal antics. Katerina Savaras of Florida had a late night craving for tacos on February 13th. I probably did too. So she did what many of us probably would have done. She placed a DoorDash order and hopped in the shower while waiting for her food to be delivered. No, that's not at all what I would do. But when she opened the door to retrieve the Talkin' Tacos delivery, Fox 35 reported that she was met by three masked bandits, a trio of raccoons who got to her meal first, eating everything but the tortillas. Oh, they like corn tortillas. That's why mine are safe. Savaras began to film the carnage, but retreated once the raccoon started engaging. One stood up on its hind legs while the other two stared her down. Once they started hissing, I shut the door so fast I was like, they can have the carne asada. It's fine, Savaras said. Talkin' Tacos caught wind of the bandits' antics, and Savaras' story went viral on that one thing, TikTok, and sent her a gift card for her troubles. That's dumb. That is just dumb. Elsewhere in Florida, bears ransacked a woman's car on Valentine's Day, no less. Have they no decency? Cassidy Samoa's boyfriend left chocolates in the front seat of her car the night before, intending to give them to her the next day. But NBC2 reported that about 3:30 on Valentine's morning, the couple woke up to find the car in bad shape. Basically, the whole door panel. I can't even open the door at all or roll the windows down or nothing, Samoa's said. No word on if the chocolates were replaced. God, what the hell does that even have to do with anything? Nothing. Stop trying to be funny, News of the Weird. Just report the damn news. All right? Cronkite. Do like Cronkite. Quit trying to editorialize. Jesus. Our song for Weekly Warren, Lawyers, Guns, and Money. This is the final track on the Excitable Boy album. Released 1978, recorded in 77. This is a pretty great song. Record World called it rock and roll at its angriest. An edited version was released as a single, and this edited version on a Quiet Normal Life best of compilation on the physical CD and LP. Although the lyrics on the rear cover are the full unedited version. Because, ladies and gentlemen, he's hiding in Honduras. He's a desperate man. Send lawyers, guns, and money. The shit has hit the fan. That's in the song. It's pretty great. The song was first covered by Rick Derringer on the 1978 album If I Weren't So Romantic I'd Shoot You. Was released as a single. Meatloaf did it on his live album. It was later covered by the Wallflowers on the Enjoy Every Sandwich album in 2004. It is also covered by Hank Williams Jr. Lord, why? Regularly played by Widespread Panic. Been covered by Mickey and the Motorcars with a recording of it on their Live at Billy Bob's Texas album. Song lent its title to a lighthearted radio program on the Melbourne community station 3RRR, which looked at the legal fraternity in the city. The program started in 85, ran for several years, hosted by the pseudonymous duo, that's a word, Donahue and Stevenson. Song was used for the opening of the show Justice with Victor Garber in 2006. There is a blog called Lawyers, Guns, and Money, and the third episode of HBO's Staircase used the song for its end credits. I like this song. It's a great song. I think it sadly gets overplayed a little bit. I just think it's a really good, it's just a good song, man. It ain't telling us nothing. It's just a good song. Thank you. ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for listening. I hope the audio comes out okay. I'll take this inside and I'll start editing it and see how we're doing. I will say I'm pretty impressed with this little Tascam here. You know, the crappy AA batteries that everything comes with. Batteries are now included, but they're like the worst, cheapest batteries ever. We've lost one bar in setting up this episode, and I had the recorder on for a long time just trying to figure out how the hell to work the damn thing first. Fantastic. It's been great. And I like that I can hear myself. I can monitor myself. It's good. It's good, yeah. I think it'll be great for the show. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, maybe you might want to give us a rating, give us a review, maybe like, comment, and subscribe. Maybe you want to do that. You don't have to. But if you want to, that'd be greatly appreciated. If you'd like to join us for a stream, we are streaming on Twitch Monday nights, twitch.tv/Jason's Groove Machine. You can find me on YouTube, Jason's Groove Machine, or you can go to jasonsgroovemachine.com and get everything you need or want from there. Also, I might point you over to buymeacoffee.com/electricleft. If you want to kick in a couple bucks a month, you can do that. That'll get you video versions of the podcast, where some footage of the games and title tracks and all, titles for the music and all of that other fun stuff. That's it for me. Thank you all for listening. I will see you guys next week.